Time for our weekly discussion of the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. Joining us today is John Hunter, publisher of the Madison Daily Leader. And John, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, Carl.
Also on the line is Jonathan Ellis, columnist and reporter for the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. And Jonathan, it's good to talk with you again as well.
Thanks for having me, Carl.
Well, yesterday was the deadline for candidates to turn in their nominating petitions to the Secretary of State's office. And John, is this sort of the first test for candidates it doesn't seem to be like it's that big of a challenge to get the necessary signatures?
Right. I think it's a reasonable challenge that if someone is serious about getting in a statewide race, it's possible to do that. Some people do, I think, try to show a sign of support. You know, there are certain requirements. If you can turn in a lot more signatures than that, that would kind of indicate that you have a stronger campaign or at least a base of support that would provide a victory later on. Nevertheless, I think it's a reasonable threshold to get over.
And Jonathan Ellis, the number of signatures, is that any guide to support then if you get thousands more than you really need?
Oh, I don't really think so. I mean, it's kind of like making a statement. Mm-hmm. And if you've got the time and you've got enough volunteers out there, you can get a lot of those signatures. And it depends sometimes too on whether or not you're using people, if you're actually paying people to collect signatures or not. I mean, obviously that helps if you are doing that. So I don't look at it as any kind of gauge necessarily of how a candidate's going to do in an upcoming election.
Well, John Hunter, now that the nominating petitions have been turned in, we officially in campaign season now?
Oh, absolutely. You think about it, there's only really 2 months before the primary, so especially for that five-candidate Republican U.S. Senate campaign, just April and May. So I think if they're not in it now, they're not going to get in it.
With the five Republicans in the primary, Jonathan Ellis, do you expect to see many debates?
Oh yeah, I would think there'll be some. I mean, I guess it's a definition of many. I know, for example, the Newspaper Association is hosting a debate in Pure in a couple of weeks. That'll be that one. There'll be some debates. There always are. At this point, Mike Rounds, who is the front runner, he's had really no need for him to debate. But now that there's actually going to be an official ballot with people, with contenders on there, he's going to have to debate. And so this will be an opportunity for the field to try to take some shots at Mike Rounds and try to bring him down a little bit. It's going to be interesting, to Rounds' benefit. It's not Rounds versus somebody else. It's Rounds versus, a field of people. So it's going to be difficult for somebody within that field to sort of capitalize on any existing anti-Rounds sentiment, because there's going to be a lot of noise of different candidates making noise. So it'll be, if it had been one person against Rounds, there maybe would be a better opportunity to confront him and maybe win some votes over. But with that many people going after him, it's going to be a little more difficult.
John Hunter, how do you see those debates shaping up?
Well, I totally agree with Jonathan that it is a two-person race, in a sense, Mike Rounds and everyone else, and that does get split up. Larry Roden, I think, has a chance to differentiate himself from that field, and he is, I think, serious enough about it to do that. So, and he has certainly the knowledge to debate well. Both he and Mike are competent debaters. I'm not as familiar with some of the others' debating capabilities, but when you get into those situations, to know the issues, to debate them rationally, if you need to try to create some difference between your opponent and yourself, they would have a chance to do that.
Also, yesterday, Governor Dennis Dugard launched his reelection campaign, and looking at the announcement, Jonathan Ellis, did he pretty much outline the issues that will form the basis for his re-election campaign?
I covered his event here in Sioux Falls, and after he gave his speech, I asked him, I said, so what are you, what's the big focus going to be in the next 4 years for you? And, you know, he said, A, he wanted to, the focus was executing on things they've already sort of initiated, which was, you know, workforce development issues, criminal justice reform. He said that that's, you know, it's a longer-term rollout. It doesn't just happen in 1 year, and there are other things coming along with that. And so he said he's not going after, quote, the next flashy big thing. He's focusing on executing things that are already in play. And during his speech, he talked about how he's, you know, going to continue being governing as a fiscal conservative. So, you know, he didn't really, there were no major new initiatives that he announced. That doesn't mean maybe there won't be some at some point, but, you know, right now I think he's, as he said, he's indicated on being fiscally conservative and executing on things that are already sort of been put into play.
Well, John Hunter, looking at Governor Dugard, seems to be a fairly popular governor in the state. Do you think running on his record, that's the way to go for him?
Well, I think so. You're right. I think modestly popular, and the unpopular things that he did are a little bit in the past. You know, he did the serious state budget cuts when he first got into office. In fact, almost before he got into office, when that very first session started, right when he was inaugurated, and then kind of cut deeply into that, and then has been able to build it back somewhat. And again, if the issue of funding for education, this is probably as strong a year as has been in a number of years, where not, you know, beyond what's required, the 1.8, but the 3.0 proposed, plus some more after that. So I think this will be a hard time to run against him based on his popularity and his current record.
Well, he does face a primary challenge from former state lawmaker Laura Hubble. Jonathan Ellis, how do you see her campaign going as she runs against Governor Dugard?
Well, I mean, she's going to be focused on what she perceives as sort of the administration, not only of Governor Dugard, but Governor Rounds, of you know, putting in place sort of the infrastructure that would have allowed the state to participate in the Affordable Care Act. And she's convinced that Governor Dugard and former Governor Rounds were complicit in that. And so, I mean, I think that this is sort of an issue. She's focused on an issue or two and wants to make some noise about those issues. Otherwise, you know, I mean, I don't know. You know, I think she's trying to attempt to, I think, educate people with her candidacy. I don't know that anybody really expects that she has a, you know, that she can win.
There are two Democrats in that party's primary race for governor. There's State Representative Susan Wismer and retired State Wildland Chief Joe Lowe. That's been sort of under the radar, it seems. John Hunter, do you expect this race to capture much attention?
Well, I don't know if the primary will gather a lot of attention, but remember, one of those two will be in a long campaign, you know, going from June to November against Governor Dugard. And so I think it will gain momentum as the summer goes along. I don't know I just can't tell the seriousness of their campaigning in the primary. You know, the legislative session is over, so I think Susan Wismer would be ratcheting it up pretty good right now, but I have not heard things from Joe Lowe yet.
John, what do you see are the issues on the Democrats' side in running against Governor Dugard?
Me, John Hunter?
Yes.
Well, I think they will pick up, especially Susan would be, I think, sticking pretty close to what the Democratic platform was in this legislative session, and that is education funding, Medicare expansion, you know, perhaps some workforce development issues that go with that. But I would expect those top two would be education funding and Medicare expansion would be clearly the issues that would dominate that general election.
And Jonathan Ellis, your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I think, I mean, it's sort of the same old, I mean, every year or every election, I mean, education funding is at the top, is a top priority. You know, like this year, the Democratic Party is making minimum wage increase a national issue, and you'll see that here as well. And then the Medicaid expansion is also a huge issue for Democrats in this state and in other states where it hasn't been expanded.
In the U.S. House race, incumbent Kristi Noem isn't facing a primary challenger, but she does have someone on the Democratic side, Corina Robinson. Has she been doing much campaigning, John Hunter, that you're aware of? Does she have much of a profile with voters yet?
I have not seen anything. And, you know, usually newspapers will get some clues about these, whether they're events or... you know, even if they're signing up campaign managers and so forth, and I have not heard anything out of that campaign yet. So I think she would have a long ways to go to build up name recognition and a platform to face Representative Noem.
Jonathan Ellis, are you hearing much from her campaign?
Yeah, she's been in Sioux Falls a few times this winter now. Most recently, I think last week she was here, and she hasn't been really doing. I mean, she has a campaign manager, Tom Cadis. A lot of West River people will recognize that name. He was a senator, state senator. Tom Cadis is the campaign manager right now. And you know, she's done some events. Again, met with some labor people, my understanding, last week, and she was here for the St. Patrick's Day parade that weekend, and I think she participated in a fundraiser that that Rick Weiland was involved in. So I think she's been doing some of it. You know, not as high profile events. You know, Tom has been in contact certainly with the Argus leader about wanting to sit down and making her available if we want to interview her. I mean, you know, there haven't been any press events that we've been invited to, but she has. I know she has been in Sioux Falls.
Well, speaking of Sioux Falls, the city has an election in 2 weeks. Mayor Mike Huether seeking re-election. The challenger is Greg Jamieson. And Jonathan Ellis, how is that race shaping up?
Well, you know, it's really, most people would think that it would be Mayor Huether's race to lose. I mean, he's the incumbent, and he has demonstrated some pretty strong leadership skills at times when the city has needed them. I mean, there are shortly after he was elected, there was a major sewer leak, and then, of course, we had the ice storm that I think of last April that a lot of people give the mayor credit for how the city responded to those events. So, you know, going into the race, you would think it would be his to lose. He probably, obviously, as any incumbent, he enjoys some name recognition. Greg Jamieson, however, is comes from an established family in town, and he himself has been in the city council now for about 6 years, so he does have some name recognition. So, I at the end of the day, I don't think that, Mike Huether walks away with this, and I think it could be kind of a tighter race than maybe most people expect.
Nielsen Brothers polling has Huether with 36% lead over Greg Jamieson. Does that seem about right?
Well, I think that in local races like this, people really don't pay as much attention until really kind of up to the deadline. I would expect it to get a little tighter than that.
Well, John Hunter, Madison has its city elections coming up too. Any significant races there?
Well, we have two spots open on the city council. Both incumbents chose not to run again, so five candidates have come forward for those two spots. And so we have a broad range of candidates from both in age and experience and backgrounds and so forth. So I think it'll be pretty lively. What might be relatively interesting is a popular former mayor who served quite a while and then was thoughtful about retiring as mayor, then a year later said, gee, I'd love to get back in, and this time as a commissioner. He brings certainly a lot of knowledge about the inner workings of city government, so he's the most experienced won those. Then you have some younger people who are eager to get into city management or politics and so forth. And so I think voters will have a good selection.
Well, finally, the Senate Banking Committee, headed by South Dakota Senator Tim Johnson, proposed legislation to shut down the government-run mortgage insurers Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Looking at that legislation, Jonathan Ellis, expected to go anywhere?
You know, we had a story on that fairly recently in which the experts that were interviewed there thought that it would be pretty difficult. I mean, this is a consequential piece of legislation. I mean, Democrats have always been very protective of those two institutions in the past, and to see this, you know, Senator Johnson agreeing to wind them down is pretty significant. I think that there was probably a lot more momentum for this, you know, a few years ago when there was coming in the midst of the crisis. And in fact, you know, I had asked, you know, Senator Johnson in Washington, it's been a couple of years now, what his intent was on this front, and he said at the time that he was more focused on implementing Dodd-Frank, and so those were on the sideline at that point in time, and now we see him front and center. You know, I think there was more momentum then, and now as our story indicated, and as was in the news recently, both of those two institutions are actually operating at a profit and paying back the money that they got from taxpayer bailouts. So, it will be difficult. The banking industry, according to our story, would oppose that. I mean, it allows, those institutions allow for a lot of banks to lend out a lot of money and make profits. So, they're definitely going to oppose it. And so we'll see. I think this, the time for that to have passed was probably a couple years ago, though.
John Hunter, you agree that the timing just isn't right for this now?
I think Jonathan is right in that there was a time when they were the arch enemy and everyone disliked them, but I don't think that is current right at the moment. And I don't think the federal government, I don't think there's support among members of Congress or the president to say let's do things that will reduce the ability to for people to buy homes and so on. So I don't think it will pass.